So on this, this is the fund flow chart, and we've provided this for the past few years. And it's more of a cash flow indication, but it gives you somewhat of a sense where we think we're going to end at the end of the year for 12/31/19 estimated balances for each fund. And then at the bottom, then we forecast where we think we're going to end up at the end of the year. And I'll just point out under this particular example in the revenue column, if we're spot on with the budgets and revenues are spot on, we would be projecting 3.1 million balance in the revenue fund at the end of the 2020 fiscal year. I would like to see that higher, because if you made the 2.552 million R&R payment out of that, you wouldn't have enough money for operating cash, right? That's why I wanted to bring you this page, so you could visualize what we're seeing and part of the justification and why we're proposing an incremental rate increase. Because once again, next year, if everything tracks perfectly, we still won't have the ability a year from now to make that levelized payment. We would still have to be making maybe quarterly payments as revenues catch up. And of course, that can swing wildly depending on weather and stuff, but that's the forecast right now. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So we just went through, where did we stop at? We stopped at
on page 30.
Page 30. Go on to the R&R budget. Any other questions about that first part of the presentation? Is anybody needing a break? I know it's pretty hot in here or not. Is that? Okay.
5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, let's take 5 minutes.
Okay.
So get up, move around, cool off. We'll come back to order. So we just finished the discussion and presentation in regards to the 2020 operating budget. I've been asked that maybe we have a motion, and I can make it here, a motion to defer the vote on the 2020 operating budget until after the discussion on raising the wholesale power rate by 0.5 cent. So I'd so move. So is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Kuz?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
All right, so that motion is at the end. Where am I at? Right there.
Mr. Chair, are you looking for a motion to increase?
Do you want to make this?
Go ahead.
Page 34.
Yeah, I move to approve setting people's wholesale power rate at 7.3 cents kilowatt hour for January through December 2020.
Are we going to jump past the R&R?
Oh.
I'm not sure. I wasn't sure if you wanted that.
Oh, we probably should.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because we're doing the operating.
Do you need
trying to follow?
Yeah, I agree. So am I.
I thought he was looking for that motion.
I was.
Okay.
And you gave it to me.
Okay.
Even though I didn't know what I was wanting.
Okay. Still looking for it?
So page 34.
Page
yeah. Oh, okay.
You got it.
So we're going to page 34. Kind of jumping ahead here a little bit. I apologize.
And our motions. There's two motions on that page.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
It's 34
of that picture.
Page
30. Well, he already made the motion, I think. Okay. And there was a second to that motion? All right, discussion.
Okay, can you, one second, what was the motion?
Was it the first, for the first R&R for the fiscal year 2020 budget?
No, no, what they did is they jumped to the...
We were going to defer...
Defer the 2020 operating budget.
And then...
But then Steve made a motion on the R&R.
Sanka made a motion.
Yeah.
Page 34.
To approve, this is the motion.
Yeah.
Right up.
Yep, okay.
Move to approve SEPA's wholesale...
Oh, the wholesale power rate, okay, got it.
Get myself where I'm at here, right?
And then it was seconded by Lynn.
By Lynn.
There's the R&R, so is the after the R&R budget.
It's not in the budget, it's in your other document, it's in the...
Budget packet?
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
There you go.
Okay, no. You're right, I'm wrong, that's okay.
11, okay.
All right, so you made the motion in regard to 7.3, just because I asked for it.
And if we want to rescind it, I mean...
Rescind it, we'll go ahead and finish the R&R, because it's going to be involved with all of them, right?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to rescind my motion.
Does it matter?
Doesn't matter for the R&R.
You can keep going.
It doesn't matter, so we'll go ahead and do this with the 7.3.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to keep my motion.
There you go. So discussion.
Well, do you need a second?
Discussion, 7.3.
Chair, let me talk to that motion on the table. I'm going to talk, I got to put my community hat on a little bit here. Is that, I just went through a rate study for our own system in Petersburg. We're looking at approximately $9 million to upgrade our Crystal Lake hydro out there. I'm going to have to bond for it. The rate study has come up with saying that I'm going to have to increase rates 14% approximately, starting next year, and then 3 years after, I got a 4% increase, and there's another increase on top of that in order to pay for this. That may go down a little bit, depending on what the bond and how that all puts together. And I want to use my school as an example. If we were to put this rate increase in effect right now, for every $100 that our school pays in utility bills, it adds $6.25. If I put 14% on top of that, my school is up to about approximately $20 per every $100. I can't stand that increase at this point in time on that, you know, on my ratepayers and my school. I've got to do something different. And so I guess where I'm at also is that I think we need to have, I can't walk back in here and truthfully say that we absolutely have to have a rate increase at this point in time. What I have to have, though, in order to dovetail with mine, is not only are we looking at 6 point, you know, we're looking at a half a cent increase, but I need to have SEPA put together some kind of what I'll call a rate increase in place, because we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about, you know, replacing that submarine cable. Trey's talked about it's going to cost, you know, give or take $4 million in relicensing. You know, and there's a lot of that project out there. I don't disagree with any of this. I know we got to do it. But I got to be able to know along the lines what we're going to do and what the thinking is or what the board wants to do in order to look at rate increases so I can dovetail them with where I am in a community-wise. I can't initially put that kind of raise on my ratepayers. There ain't no way, that won't pass. It won't pass the assembly test, it won't pass. I'll go one step further. I really do believe we need to do some kind of, and I'll call it a rate study for anything else. I know that what Trey has sent back to Lisa, there's a chicken and egg there in terms of questions that he asked and things that we need to answer, and I agree with him. I don't disagree with that, but that has to be a board-level discussion, and we have to put together a longer-term plan. The other part of that is that I need, once we agree to that, I need the Trey, the CEO, in my community to help to sell that plan, whatever we agreed to as a board. But if I walk in there right now, everything's going to fall apart. So where I'm going, bottom line, is I can't agree today to a rate increase.
Thank you, Bob, for that comment. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have been probably one of the stronger proponents for a rate increase for many years. and I had pushed for us to have small incremental increases in order to meet our obligations for our infrastructure requirements that we're going to have down the road. I believe we need to do it. But I, too, am looking at this with the amount of time that we have, the issues that we're dealing with, and the cuts that we're making to make budgets work. And I have to say that for us to come forward with a half-cent increase and the loss of the rebate, it's going to be a tough one for the community to swallow. I'm not sure, because the budget is built on the rate increase. I'm not sure what we could do to decrease that liability. Is there, for example, off the top of my head, can we reimburse the R&R? Can we rebuild the R&R fund over 2 years? Or over 3 years, do a smaller chunk each year, or is it too perilous and we can't do that? So I don't know what kind of mechanisms we can put forward in the budget, because we only have one budget in front of us, and that's a budget with a half a cent increase. I want us to entertain, and I just phoned Lisa to confirm conversations that we had during the discussions about refunding the North for its diesel use. And she clearly remembers as well that we had talked about that money coming out of the rate stabilization fund, which was built by a contribution from the communities from their annual dividend. And that, although it's small, that would help. And I know you say, well, now you're down to 1.2 in that fund. We rebuilt that slowly, but it allows us to maintain our budget. So I also feel that this would be a very difficult thing for us to move forward with at this time.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair, I agree very much with what Steve said. I would add the fact that effective January 1, we have a 3.5% rate increase going into effect on our ratepayers. The issue I really have with this isn't so much of the need, but it's the timing. Again, we got the budget Friday. First I saw the rate increase. I think we've got to come up with a better mechanism to provide this board with a discussion relative to what each of the member communities are doing relative to their systems and proposed rates, so we can have an integrated discussion as to how we get it all to fit together. We have an obligation as SEPA board members to fiscally be responsible to the needs of SEPA, but I think we can do it in a much better manner in terms of planning for these and putting them into effect in a way that works for all of the member utilities.
Thank you. Anybody else? You know, in regards to local rate structures, we're under probably even more demands because we have so much stuff going on in the communities. But the underlying reality is we can't underfund this organization to the point where it fails, because then our costs will be even greater. And if it's reasonable, I think Steve talked a number of years ago about the fact that we need to do this in small increments. And I do see a point where, regardless if it's more generation or what we're going to ever end up with on the undersea cable issue, that we got to have available funds to pay for that. And if we're behind now, we're going to even be further behind when we get there. So The timing is maybe an issue. The city of Ketchikan, because of our diesel burns, we deferred that rate. We had a hard discussion about even putting that rate in place. But if we don't fund our utilities and allow them to run at a deficit, we're taking money out of reserves, and that's not a good plan. It's not going to last forever. So they were warranted, and I think in this point it's warranted. Maybe the implementation, how we implement it, is the question. We also, it's completely unrelated to the power system, but we talked about raising our rates on our ports, and the information we got back is give us enough advance notice so we can build it into our rates from the cruise industry. And I think that's kind of what we need to do in this particular incident. It doesn't mean that we can't approve this and set, I guess, a date later on down the line. And in reality, if we send it to the, you know, half a year, you know, into July, we gain less revenues, but it gives us a longer discussion in our own communities of how we adjust to that. Like Bob had said, he's having a hard time there because of what they're planning to do. But regardless what SEPA does, that's still going to be there. And if we have to come back, it's still going to be on top of what you're already doing. We understand that. And we all have similar type stuff. We may have to put in a larger diesel in Ketchikan to meet some of our diesel needs. That's going to take some kind of a bond, and then we got to be able to pay for it out of our rate structure. So I understand that we all have to work together, and this has to be integrated. Like Carl said, we have to be talking to each other in regards to how we move things like this forward, and we need to have that early. And it'd be nice to have a forecast to figure out what we're looking at down the line. We're all concerned with that, but there's a lot of unknowns in that. So even if we didn't pass this, the budget as it stands, we'd run into about a $200,000 deficit, and that would either be made up out of reserves or money that we didn't spend because we didn't get some projects done or something. So I don't see that as that big of an issue, but I think that we're just falling further back in the hole. We're not addressing the situation that we all know is coming in regards to the rates. And what ate up the rebates is, of course, unforeseen costs or costs that we had to pay. And we're to a point where we got to think about what we're doing. Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Did I interrupt you? Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm not against the raise. What I am have a terrible problem with, it shows up Friday at a time when I, you know, work on a rate study. And all of a sudden, oh crap, now I've got a problem because I've got to dovetail this with what I'm trying to do. So I do, what do I do with my rates, you know, and that type of thing. What I really do believe is that this needs to be, and I don't disagree with that, and I agree with Steve. I was out, you know, advocating for, you know, the rate increase a long time ago. But again, so now I think we have to back up, and this has to be packaged in such a way to our publics, our local publics, understand why and what we're doing. And for me to walk back in there now just saying, well, this balances the budget or, you know, something like that, it isn't going to fly, because we have a lot of things on the table, and those are the types of things that I think we need to go back and talk to the communities about before we implement a rate increase. And it's going to take us 6 months to do that. I really feel strongly about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, just
yes, go ahead.
And again, I'm going to come back to, I've been the guy screaming for rate increases, but what I was looking for was sort of a you know, that we do it over time. But with that said, we have had peripheral discussions, and typically it goes something like this: we're going to have to look at raising the rates at some point because we've had this issue or that issue. We've never had a substantive discussion at the board level where we lay it out and say, okay, you know, here you go. So yes, it has been mentioned, but no, there's been no sort of process behind it. And just like everyone, I'm not trying to offload my community's responsibilities onto SEPA, but we have to dovetail the two responsibilities together so that we're not going to create a crisis in our own communities with it.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate Carl's approach to this in that it has to be a discussion about taking the Three Musketeers approach here. One for all and all for one. We all come, Petersburg, Wrangell, Ketchikan, sit down at a table with what our member communities' issues are that we're facing and what budgetary constraints, bond issues, projects we have coming up and what we think that means to us. And then we overlay that with what SEPA's needs are, and we sit down as a group and have a discussion about what that looks like and how we accomplish what's best for SEPA and what's best for the communities in one strong approach going forward. And that's the only way our communities are going to be able to stomach this. Steve mentioned earlier, we seem to have had a bit of an anomaly in our electric bills with consumption with a few people, and that turned into, in a blink of an eye, a feeding frenzy on Facebook with 200 people chiming in with all sorts of conspiracy theories about how we're raising electrical rates in Wrangell to fund the mayor's, you know, lobbying trip to D.C. and all sorts of other crazy things. And that's just because a few people had an anomaly on their bill. That if we came back, as Bob said, if we come back to our community and with no notice and talk about a rate increase, and then we have to throw all of the other things from our own utility on top of that are going on, it's going to be a bloodbath. And that's not what we want for us, and that's not what we want for SEPA.
I would agree. We don't want that for either one of us. But we do have to move forward with something at some point in time. And so when do you develop your budget, Lisa?
Well, we're getting ready to start that process right now because we're on a July 1, June 30 fiscal year. But to help deal with this as a joint issue, we can move things up with regard to the electric utility to look at what our needs are.
But if you're going to be doing budget in July, and even if we divert the discussion for the rate increase until July, that would give your community time. And when do you do yours, Bob?
Same as that. We're in the first start just process right now.
So,
but we can move up again the utility side of that, so if we get some kind of at least draft budget.
And Ketchikan's doing theirs right now and close to finalizing it. So,
Mr. Chair, I see that there is a retreat scheduled potentially for late February in Seattle for the SEPA board. And I suggest maybe that we as municipalities can come prepared with something to that and begin a broader discussion during that time frame.
Is there four hands to put that onto the discussion? I see two. Yeah, there's four. So we'll make that part of the discussion at this time. So what is the, I guess, favor of the board at this time in regard to the motion that's on the floor? Is there a further discussion, or do you want to put it to a vote? Dick.
Well, it sounds like that the budget could stand at least with a 6 month delay in even implementing this. It's going to shorten it up, but it sounds like it could be slowed down for 6 months. And so, are we better off saying, okay, this is hoping we'll approve it, but it doesn't go into effect for 6 months? Does that give the other two communities to work it out, or do you want to just say no until 6 months later and then look at what we do? But it's, the longer we delay, the longer everybody's needs are not going to get met.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to Dick's point. Politically, I'm better off staying with the 6.8 cents, but realizing in the meantime we're going to find a way to do something. Because I'm going to have a hard time, you're going to do this in 6 months, is what you're saying.
We're going to bring it back to the board in 6 months.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is, so you leave it the same, bring it back to the board, or do you stay with it? Politically, I think if you stay with the 6.8 cents, I think we're better off than to come back in June and raise the rates for 6 months.
So, in other words, you're thinking we should defer this motion until June? When do we have our quarterly meeting?
It's going to be in March, beginning of March.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that we vote it up or down, and then we have our retreat, that we could do a budget amendment. And I'm not sure if there's not some changes that can be made on the interim, or we look at a deficit budget with the changes down the road. I'm not sure what we're mandated to do, but we have other rules and so on. I'm not sure what those look like, but I would think that somehow we've got to move forward so that Trey knows what he's got to operate with. Otherwise, he's operating in the dark. He doesn't know whether he's going to receive additional funds through a rebate or not. So would rather vote it down and have us take a look at an interim budget and then revisit it with more projects. Maybe the projects are pulled until we have a chance to look at it at the retreat level.
Trey.
However you guys do it, you probably should at least pass a motion that establishes a rate, whatever you guys decide on. I don't think you can defer that decision is what I'm getting at. I think you...
And we set the rate every year,
you
correct?
You need to set the rate every year. So you can vote this down and then, or modify the motion.
You can amend it to say 6.8.
Yeah. However you guys want to do it, but I think we need to pass something that establishes some kind of a rate.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I would like to amend the motion to establish our rate at 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Would you call the roll on the amendment?
Prysanka.
Yes.
Amelon.
Yes.
Sievertson.
Yes.
Coos.
Yes.
Lynn.
Yes.
Thank you.
Would you call the roll on the main motion?
Amelon.
Yes.
Sievertson.
Yes.
Coos.
Yes.
Lynn.
Yes.
Prysanka.
Yes.
Thank you.
So that brings us back to R&R. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did defer the motion.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now we can do the suggested motion, or the motion on page 3, right?
Let me get you some new numbers. Yeah.
Okay, she's going to give me a few numbers here. That's good. Well, you'd like new numbers.
We could go into R&R.
Yeah,
if you, need
you
little,
could.
You want to go into
sure.
R&R?
Yeah.
Okay, a little chance to update the numbers for you guys.
So we're going to divert voting on the motion in regards to the operating budget and move into the R&R budget. And there is a motion on page 31. Do I have a motion in regards to the R&R?
I move to approve the current R&R, Mr. Chair.
I move to approve the current R&R project's fiscal year 2020 budget in the amount of $2,877,803, and I move to approve the fiscal year 2020 R&R projects as presented in the amount of $696,530.
Sure. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Great.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So just a quick overall snapshot, just as identified in the motion, most of our projects are carryovers from previous years that are either in engineering or procurement. We have proposed a number of, I'll say, reasonably small projects for 2020 that a couple of capital expenditures that fairly small, and a couple of safety and reliability items that we're also looking at as well. So we'll go through each one of these, and I'll talk specifically on them. And yield any questions you may have.
Thank you.
So I think we've already addressed the first item on them, and with the fourplex. There's some pictures of existing Swan Lake there for reference. On R&R 19301, disconnect switch, surge arresters at Swan Lake. FY 2020 budget is proposed at $66,394. Estimated total project expenditures is $92,375. Does anybody have any questions on that particular R&R? Many of these should be pretty familiar. They've been on in your pocket several times.
Yes.
Next item, Governor PLC Modernization of Tyee, R&R 19305. The FY 2020 budget,
$93,302. So, I don't know how long ago it was that we visited Tyee and they were talking about the PLC stuff, so it got to a point now. I mean, I don't know how old it is that's in the plant.
Yeah, well, that's
Robert, you want to speak to that?
The LNS are about 20 years old, I think.
Okay. Proprietary.
So, and the proprietary. The main thing is that their SEPA doesn't have the source code for them, and we don't have the ability to do anything with the source code. And so, when anything does happen, or if there's any changes that need to be made, or anything of that nature, we have no ability to do anything. It would be an emergency at that point to go out and do this project okay. at that date. Just recently, we did have a failure with one of the PLCs, and it was one of the outages we had within the last 2 months. We were able to get that PLC up and going, and we do have a spare. But we have two PLCs out in the field. They're 20 years old, and as we all know, electronics, in the electronic world, you're about obsolete at 15. Mm-hmm. If you're in the computer world, you're about obsolete at 3.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Next item, helipads, R&R 19307. As I believe here was stated earlier, you know, is there a possibility that maybe we could defer some of our items in R&R? This is an example of one that I did defer, trying to cut back on R&R to preserve capital in the R&R fund. As you guys are aware, we've shown some pretty good pictures of collapsed helipads and such that need to be replaced. And I look at it this way, they've been failed for quite a while. We can probably get by for another year. We're the only people that use these areas. And the ones that are failed, it's pretty obvious that they failed. So they'll have to find alternative landing sites should they need to go to that area. And guys might have to hike a ways in order to get to the tower if they need to. But my recommendation at this point is that we defer that fairly large CapEx item until next year, until hopefully revenues get restored.
Thank you.
R&R 19308, hydraulic power unit at Tyee Gatehouse. We've also given pretty detailed updates to this to the board, and FY 2020 budget is proposed at $205,980. Any questions on that item? Okay. Station service switch gear. This is a big item, but it's important. And we're well into design. I think we're at 90% right now, correct, Ron? And so it's, and we've got a breaker that's stuck in place. I mean, there's very good reason to proceed with this one at this time.
So when you say stuck in place, that means that you can't take it out of the rack, but the breaker itself is still serviceable, still run. I mean, it still will trip and.
Yeah, you just can't maintain it.
Okay.
Still functioning.
So well, that'd be an issue if it wasn't functioning.
Definitely. Next item, proposed R&R 19326, design phase. we've got some money in there. We've, we're anticipating expenditures about $5,000so far, and we'll have some more as we work to refine that going forward into this next year. At this point, this particular project, I'm not in a big rush to move it along. We don't have a lot of money right now. We can take our time, try to look at every detail we possibly can, look at different variations, and as long as we're not spending too much money in that process, I think it's time well spent. R&R 19327, the fire protection upgrade. Obviously, this needs to be done, and I believe we got this pretty well queued up. And R&R budget is $54,500. Security upgrades. We have done some work in this area, and I think we still have some more work to do. And we talked about car lock access into the plants. We still have unsecured areas. And so there are some things we still need to do here. And, I think we have an obligation to do that for public safety and plant safety as well. So R&R 19330. So we're real close to having this wrapped up. We're right in transition with our two IT providers, so it's going to take a little bit of an effort to get those transitioned. So there's a little bit of residual money left in here to finish things off in the beginning of this fiscal year. Moving on to R&R 19331. This is a pretty big item, and it's going to take. And we've talked through it a bunch of times, but I'm going to ask Robert to kind of walk you through it a little bit because it is a big item. And I will note that we have ratcheted back how fast we're going to try to get this done, and we've spread those costs off. We've front loaded in 2020 $100,000 and then $350,000 in a subsequent year. So this is another one that I was looking for ways to defer some of this R&R activity into a subsequent year, and it's reflected in here. So if you wouldn't mind, Robert, can you just kind of give a quick how we got to this? We've combined some things. And
sure. So in the last 5 years or so, we've upgraded all our PLC control units at all our plants. So we have a brand new backbone ready to be operated for the next 15 years. The HMI portion of it, the part where that you actually interact with the operators, actually raise megawatts, lower megawatts, raise voltages, lower voltages, the interacting part of that PLC program is the HMI. That HMI system is as old as the old PLCs were, and has been going through, we've been having lots of issues, crashing, error codes, and as part of that system is what we call the historian. So if you were to call me up today and say, hey, Robert, what happened last week when we had a voltage issue in town and the lights blinked, I would go to that historian and try and pull that data up. Well, that system's been crashing as well. So we've lost some data there. Got it back through our STIC server. But just as any other program that's of this age, it is at the end of its useful life. So this project is to replace that with a industry standard. It's a program called Ignition. It is HTML based, so there won't be a requirement of any specialized equipment for it. It can be operated on any computer. It will upgrade the historian service of it. It will upgrade the interaction with the operators, and then also part of this project is to actually upgrade STIX. So as you guys recall, what STIX does is the Swan Tie control system, and it controls Swan Lake based on total SEPA load, and we use the load tables to do that, and those that have joined us on our Tuesday operations call understand that intimately. STIX is controlled and operated from Tie with a Visual Basic program that was written in 2009 or 10, but that the Visual Basic software itself is of the 2003 vintage, not supported anymore. I don't even have